WNDR.
Here's the Thanksgiving edition of The Market Scope. And now, here's the turkey.
Bill, wait!
Excuse me, Fred, while I roll over so the DX Audio Service maid, Bambi, can base the other side. Hi, DXers. This is the Big Bird from Market Scope. A few months back, Californians awoke to find that one of the dominant Los Angeles radio stations had made a major format modification. And, of course, our DX Audio Service correspondents had their tape decks ready.
Broadcasting throughout the known universe with 200 billion gorilla watts. This is Pirate Radio. Pirate Radio, the new station that's not for everyone. Pirate Radio.
Jovi. That's Edge of a Broken Heart. I'm Shadow on the cruise home this afternoon in Southern California, and the most embarrassing record in the history of music is next on The Pirate.
Hello, you fools!
This is Chad talking to you, Spring Breakers. I'm trying to fool you into coming to K-Rock Night at Club Shelter in Old Town. It's a Friday night! And even though this wacky thing is going on K-Rock right now, it is K-Rock music. Tonight in Old Town, Club Shelter, Club Shelter. Tonight in Old Town, drink specials all night long. An autographed 9-inch nails CD. Can't be a fool. Got to be a hardcore 9-inch fan. I have ways of finding out. You won't find this place. You just won't find it. Listen up for directions or call 818-577-4040. I personally advise you to just park in Old Town and then find your way there the best way you can. But if you must have directions, it's where the 210 and 134 meet. Exit Orange Grove and go south. 40 South Pasadena Avenue in Old Town. It's a one-way street. It'll throw you off. K-Rock Night. Get the fish for all this wonderful party time. Club Shelter in Old Town tonight.
Dealer prices vary.
KROQ-FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles.
North America. This is Pirate Radio. Welcome to the jungle. America's newest station, Pirate Radio. That plays all the music. Pirate Radio.
Let's do it.
This is the radio station that carries its balls in a wheelbarrow, baby. Pirate Radio, 106.7 FM, Shadow Steel and the Wild Thing.
Serving the universe from the coast of Southern California, this is Pirate Radio.
On 106.7 FM, Pirate Radio. The station that Lita Ford listens to, sitting in her decrepit little house up in the valley going,
what happened to my career? What happened to my career?
Arbitron, rated number 9. This is Pirate Radio. Watts of weasel power.
Weasel power.
This is Pirate Radio.
Is this KROQ Studios?
What happened to KROQ?
What happened to KROQ?
Pirate Radio.
No, I don't want to hear that.
They probably just fired Kevin and Bean, right? Pirate
Jack, are you guys taking over KROQ?
Shut up, really?
Oh, my God, I can't believe this.
Oh, man, that's a drag.
Is KROQ totally gone forever? Isn't KROQ supposed to be on this station?
I'll be listening tomorrow.
Pirate now? What happened to KROQ?
What happened to KROQ?
My daughter is having a crisis.
Is KROQ just finished?
KROQ's not on there anymore. She can't even decide what color shoes or socks to wear.
What's going on?
She's having a fit. Listen to her.
What happened to KROQ?
Pirate Radio?
Yep.
Never mind.
Yeah, what happened to KROQ?
Yeah, what happened to KROQ?
Oh, come on. Why is Pirate on? Why is Shannon on?
Is KROQ, like, out of business?
Come on. I mean, what the hell is going on? I've been on vacation, and I come back, and there's this crap on the radio. It's awful.
What happened to KROQ?
Where is KROQ?
Please, I'm pissed.
Where did KROQ go?
So KROQ is no longer.
You are kidding me.
Pirate, how come KROQ's not on?
No more KROQ.
I just want to know what happened to KROQ. Wait a minute.
Is this an April Fool's joke? Is this an April Fool's joke? Is this an April Fool's joke?
I just want to compliment you on your April Fool's joke.
It was funny.
Well, that was a really good April Fool's joke. Thanks a lot.
That's gone.
Oh, my God. Thank God. Oh, my God.
And all of a sudden, we hear this strange sound.
That's what makes it so incredible.
Oh. We'd like to start off with a song that was voted by the listeners of KROQ as the number one song of all time.
Aye, mighty. Shiver me timbers. Get your hands off me, parrot. I'm making the pirates walk the bleeding plank. Hey, it's Sluggo. I'm in Lake Havasu. What have you people been doing down there? What's this pirate crap? We're at this huge party, and we're going to do it all night long now, if that's okay with you, on 106.7 KROQ, KROQ, FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles, the world-famous KROQ.
That's it for this edition of Market Scope. For those of you who wonder what radio is like around here, I've got a tape of Summer of 94 highlights. It includes Fort Wayne's WFWI, The Fort, WMEE before their recent format change, and a bit of WDJB. From Columbus, Ohio, we have WNCI and WBNSFM. From Lafayette, Indiana, WAZY. And from Orlando, Florida, some WOCL, Cool 105, WOMX, and WXXL. It'll all be featured on After Dark number 5. Now, I had to include those Orlando stations because those are all the stations that John and Linda Bowker listen to on a regular basis. John is such a party animal. Speaking of John Bowker, here he is with yet another edition of History He Lived Through.
Historical Moments in Radio, a collection of stories of the rich and exciting past on the AM radio dial. Hello again, I'm John Bowker, and this month I want to try to capture some of the excited anticipation of the local press and of the people who lived in a relatively small city back only about 60 years ago when they learned that somebody was going to build a radio station right in their own town. Now, let me set the scene for you. Here we are in a city of perhaps 40,000 people in the midst of the logging territory, and they're right in the middle of Oregon, a good 5 or 6 hour drive from Portland over the imposing snow-capped Cascade Mountains. The original Indian dwellings here were at a wide bend in the Deschutes River, and the explorers therefore called the city Bend. For many years, the town has had a fine newspaper, the Bend Bulletin, and while it kept everybody informed of the world's progress back in the late 30s, the people still felt vaguely isolated. Once they reminded themselves their neighbor Carl Austin had fooled around with a radio station in his basement right here in Bend. That was in 1922, though. Mr. Austin's station was licensed by the Department of Commerce as 7ADD, and on March 30th, 1922, the newspaper listed the 5 people in Bend who had registered with Mr. Austin after hearing his broadcasts. That article is the only mention of 7ADD or Carl Austin, so we can only assume the station was somewhat short-lived. But now things are different. It's 1936. The whole country is talking about radio highlights that many in Bend could not pick up, especially during the summer months when static levels were high. During the spring of 1936, the Bulletin reported that a Mr. Chet Wheeler of Bend had plans to build a new radio station in town, and the excitement began to build. Frequent phone calls, several every day, were received asking, when will the program start? Well, during the next many months, there were a couple of small items in the paper about delays in construction. Mr. Wheeler faced one seemingly impossible obstacle after another, but everywhere he turned, everyone seemed to want a radio station in town, and one by one, he was able to overcome the delays and rising costs of construction. The start of a radio station takes a long time, the paper reported editorially. Even after a construction permit has been granted by Washington, approvals must still be obtained for the transmitter and the antenna site. The properties must be purchased, and building approvals from state and local governments must be obtained, and arrangements for broadcasting equipment, geological surveys to determine what concrete foundation is needed for the tower, and then programming contracts must be developed, and a staff employed, and, of course, the development of contracts with local and national merchants, who will determine the station's financial success. Well, by the fall of 1938, the newspaper reported, quote, "We see now that the buildings are finished, the tower is proudly erected, and there are cars in the driveway. But now tests must be conducted to determine that the station will operate exactly as licensed, and this can only be done by an authorizing testing agency in Portland. The testing facilities, we learned, unfortunately, are fully occupied until the middle of December, so nothing can be done until then. Each evening, we suggest, our readers should tune their dials to 1310 after December 15th, and you'll learn firsthand of Mr. Wheeler's successes." Well, things must have worked out, because on the evening of December 19th, 1938, at 7 p.m., Chet Wheeler, who had lost nearly 30 pounds after conceiving the idea of building a radio station in his hometown, proudly threw the antenna transmitter switch, the glass doors of the unit clearly showing the gleaming white light of the powerful radio tube filaments. A few deft adjustments on the front panel knobs, Chet walked slowly to the new ribbon microphone in the center of the sound-treated room he had designed for the station. Calmly reading from a blue sheet of paper prepared earlier that afternoon, Chet spoke the first words ever heard at 1310 in Central Oregon. "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is radio station KBND in Bend, Oregon, operating with 100 watts of power this evening at 1310 kilocycles. We have a special dedication program for you now. I would like to introduce Bud Russell's orchestra, who will play a few selections for us." Well, listener response was instantaneous as congratulations poured into the station from all over the state and even beyond Oregon's borders. KBND has proven to be a most successful enterprise with one of the most high estimated audience percentages in the country right through World War II. Mr. Wheeler has contributed in a major way to the development of radio broadcasting in the United States.
There's more right after the news on 1110 KBND Bend. CBS News, I'm Nick Young. Washington is taking new steps aimed at...
It's now at 1110, but it's a direct tribute to Mr. Chet Wheeler of Bend, Oregon. For Historical Moments, this is John Bowker.
The DX Audio Service, musings for members.
The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views of the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or the editors and publishers. Members may muse by calling the action line at 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day.
Greetings, Audio Service members. Marty Ripon here. Today is the 17th of September, and this morning at midnight, KKHI came back on the air. Only this time, it's at 100.7 FM rather than 95.7 FM. And their AM also came back on at 1510. Now, KKHI at this point is just a slogan. They are still KTID, AM and FM in San Rafael. But they are a classical music format, and they have bought out the entire KKHI library.
Hello, Fred. This is Greg Jack in Olympia, Washington. And I just called to talk about the continuing saga of Cairo's buying of King in Seattle. Apparently, in addition to everything that's going on, Cairo is selling Channel 7, Cairo Television, to somebody in Texas. The interesting aspect of this is that Channel 7 will be dropping CBS and will be going independent. They're talking about joining possibly the new Paramount Network whenever that's supposed to happen. So therefore CBS will go to Channel 11, which is now an independent. However, Channel 11 used to be CBS apparently during the early 60s, and so they're going to be CBS again. So that's what's going on around here. Thanks a lot.
Good morning, Fred, and Audio Service subscribers. Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts, on the 4th of October at 7:50 a.m. with a format change in Worcester, WWTM, which used to be WBIV, which relayed WEEI. They are now Worcester Sports Talk at 1440. Also at 8:90, WBMA in Dedham, Massachusetts, which is a Christian rock formatted station. They are broadcasting with WBIV 1060. Right now, WBIV is on at nighttime, and they broadcast from 8:90 from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. It is possible they're going to be going all, well, they're going to be simulcasting at 1060 and 8:90. So right now it's at 8:90 in the day, 1060 at night. Thank you very much.
Bob Raspin reporting from Lowell, Mass. On the 4th of October. On September 27, I caught WCRN in Worcester testing at 8:30 kilocycles, kilohertz, and that was about 3:30 in the afternoon. Now, October 3rd, WBMA, Dedham, Mass., 8:90 on the dial, took to the air, and it is working in cooperation with WBIV, Natick, Massachusetts, 1060. WBMA broadcasts from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and WBIV from 6 p.m. to 7 a.m., each with a religious Christian format.
Hello, DX Audio Service members. This is Victor Schmidt from Silver Spring, Maryland. Today is October 4th, 10-4 day, CB lingo there. We have a format change here in the D.C. area. Classic rock 105.9 is no more. They are now playing smooth jazz. And the only announcement I hear between the music is, tell a friend about the newest station, Smooth Jazz 105.9. Also, Jim, to answer your question on 1100, what you're hearing is a Cuban station. I remember sometime back in the 80s when Fidel had a temper tantrum, I couldn't get 3WE for about a couple of months because the station just literally overpowered 3WE. Also, I got the pirate station you mentioned at the beginning of the October tape. I thought it was the station off the coast of Long Island broadcast. broadcasting again. But I'm surprised that somebody would be doing it down in Texas. I wonder if there have been any licenses for stations above 1600 yet. Haven't heard any testing. Has anybody else heard any stations testing that are legit?
All right, hello, DXers everywhere. This is old TJ from Sycamore, Illinois. I just want to say, hey, Chris Connor from Mix 104.9. She was excellent, filling in for Fred Rovey on this month's edition of the DX Audio Service. She was great. And don't get me wrong, Fred, you do a fantastic job, but it was refreshing to hear a new voice filling in for you. I just want to let you guys know she was excellent. Thanks a lot.
This is Tim Hendel in Miami. I have that Denon AM stereo, FM stereo tuner, which was talked about at the beginning of DX Audio Service for October, and I'd like to tell you a few things about it. First of all, this is definitely not an AM DX machine. Sensitivity on AM is not that great. Actually, sensitivity and selectivity on FM are much better. Yes, the tuner does have AM wideband and AM stereo, and that's great. However, the sound that you get from a lot of AM stations is rather disappointing. I think this has to do with the fact that the audio processing on AM stations is intended for radios with less fidelity, so you actually get a harshness in the sound when you use this tuner on AM with a lot of stations. So if you get one, be sure you have a chance to try it on the stations in your area and return it if you don't like it. I would actually like to sell mine, and I'm offering it for sale for $300. If you're interested, call 305-381-6777. Or instead of selling that Denon tuner, I'd like to trade it for one of the Magnum Dynalab analog FM tuners. Now I want to talk about some call letter changes in Tampa. 820 on the dial was WYTA, I think. They've had another change. They're now WNZE. They call themselves the Winds Sports Team, I think. Meanwhile, on 570, we have in Tampa WHNZ. 820 is WNZE. I don't know if I said that right. Anyway, WHNZ also calls themselves Winds News. Both of those stations, I think, are owned or affiliated with WINZ 940 on the dial in Miami, which also calls itself Winds. Winds 570 in Tampa even uses some of the same slogans as Winds 940 in Miami, such as traffic and weather together on Winds, and tune in two, three, four times a day for Winds News. Also in the Tampa area, we know about all Spanish radio stations, but how many areas of the country have an all Greek station? Well, there are actually two stations, and they appear to simulcast, one on 1500 and the other on 1520. And I didn't get the calls, but as far as I can tell, they are Greek. If not all of the time, then certainly most of the time. Also in Tampa, 1340 is Greek overnight, and 1470 appears to be Greek some of the time, but neither of those stations are all Greek. The 1340 is Spanish during the day. And I reported a couple of months ago that 760 in Tampa seemed to be off the air, or else they were using their night pattern because I couldn't get them from where I was in Central Florida. Well, I was in Tampa, and they're definitely on the air. The call used to be WEND, and they were the flagship station of the Sun Radio Network. They're now WBND. No, I think it's BDN. I have to check that again, folks. Anyway, they have a different call, but they're still talk radio, and they identify as Brandon, so I guess that would be BDN, which is a suburb of Tampa. I couldn't determine whether they're still part of the Sun Radio Network, but they definitely are talk.
It's Saturday, October 8th. It's 8:38 a.m.
And I'm calling to let you know that WFIL, or what was WPHY, is now back to WFIL in Philadelphia. They're billing themselves as Positive Talk, although it's definitely still a Christian format, and I will send along a tape with the ID for John for future use. This is Nancy Lynn in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by the way.
Hello there, DX Audio Service members. This is Johnny Ott, WA8WFH in Minneapolis. And it's October the 8th, Saturday afternoon at about 5:30. And I got a question maybe John Bowker can answer. Ever since I can remember, every time you hear about or read about clear channel frequencies and whatever that all is supposed to mean, two of other clear channel frequencies that are mentioned are 870 and 1210. And you're always told that the only two stations that were on those two frequencies, 870 was WWL in New Orleans, and 1210 was WCAU or OGL or whatever the station would be in Philadelphia. Well, of course, growing up in Michigan, I know perfectly well that on 870 in the daytime, there's WKAR at Michigan State, and on 1210 was WKNX in Saginaw. How come those stations were never mentioned in clear channel lore and history? They were both daytimers, and I guess they still are. But how come they're never mentioned? And you just hear about WWL and the Philadelphia station with its various call sign and format changes. And while you ponder that, I'll let you go, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
It's time for the CPC report with Captain Jeff Tynan.
This is Jeff Tynan with the NRC CPC report for November 1994. Got quite a few tests today from NRC, IRCA, and a few others. First is on Monday, October 31st, between 2 and 4 Eastern Standard Time, Radio Vision Christiana on 535. We'll be testing with jazz, code IDs, tones, voice IDs at 100 kilowatts. Reception reports to Mr. Bob Janney. Next test is also October 31st and will be airing all the way through mid-December. CJSB 540 in Ottawa, Ontario. They'll be running code IDs in their regular rock format 24 hours a day until they leave the air and go to the FM. Reception reports to Mr. Jeff Ruck, Chief Engineer. Next test is on the 7th of November, WVLD on 1450 from midnight till 0500 Eastern. That's in Valdosta, Georgia. Also that night, KYCA 1490 from 0230 to 300 hours from Prescott, Arizona. Then on November 12th, WLLS on 1600 from Hartford, Kentucky, will conduct a DX test, and that's Saturday morning between 1 and 1:30 Eastern. This will be in conjunction with a regular transmitter testing at 1,000 watts. Test will include code IDs, tones, and mention of the NRC. Send reception reports to Mr. Lloyd Spivey. This is a tentative date. It's possible it'll be rescheduled at a later date. Next test is on the 14th of November, WGNY on 1200 from Newburgh, New York, from midnight to midnight 30. Next test is KOHI 1600 on November 20th. KOHI is from St. Helens, Oregon. They'll be testing from 3 to 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. Tests will be run at 1,000 watts and include code IDs. Reception reports should go to Mr. Forrest W. Smith. He's Whiskey Bravo 7 Alpha Echo Alpha. On the 21st of November, KDDD on 800 from 1:30 to 2 in the morning, Dumas, Texas. And WFRM on the same date, 600, from 0200 to 0230, Coutersport, Pennsylvania. On the 28th of November, CJGX on 940, Yorkton, Saskatchewan, from 1 to 1:30 in the morning. And also on the 28th, WMAM, 570 from Marinette, Wisconsin, from 1 to 3 in the morning. On December 4th, WTRW 1590 will test from Two Rivers, Wisconsin. They'll be testing from 5:30 to 6 a.m. Test will be at 1,000 watts, will include code IDs and music, including one very identifiable song. Send reception reports to Mr. Mark Heller, President. on December 10th, WERA 1590 from Plainfield, New Jersey, will test from 4:30 to 5 Eastern Time. Test will be at 500 watts and will begin after the CNN news. Here's a clue. The test will include a song that peaked in 1973. It will possibly include some code IDs and tones. We're working on that at the moment. And the last test is on 12/24, December 24th, HCJB on 690 from midnight 15 to 45 past the hour. And that's from Quito, Ecuador. And that's it for the CPC report, November.
And that's our CPC report on this edition of the DX Audio Service. It's time now for Pete Kemp's Radio Roundup here on the DX Audio Service. Cody McCabe and his wife, Sydney Shepherd, have taken over the morning slot on KRGS in Grand Junction. They'd previously been heard on KVOO Radio. Mike Gallagher is the latest addition to WGY's talk roster. He's to be heard in the afternoon drive block. The Talk America Network has added a View from the Left with host Jeffrey Gale. WRKS-FM has broken up the Wake Up Club. As the book showed, it really was a no-doze time. Ken Webb moves to overnights and staffers Yvonne Mobley and Jeff Fox get the door. Don St. John has resigned from KFRC Radio, where he'd been doing the overnight oldies gig. The rumor mill has this veteran reappearing in the market, possibly on KABL. WKRG in Mobile is now WNTM, as the market goes through a lot of duopoly reshuffling. WKMF has changed its calls to WWBN, referring to themselves as the Banana, dropping their cowboy boots for rock programming. Well, yours truly, Fred Vobey, reports that WQTL in Ottawa, Ohio, has dropped its oldies programming and AOR flavor for the Arrow format, as it calls itself now the Eagle. Also, WZOQ in Lima, Ohio, here has a new morning crew. They call themselves Frank and Stein. That's Frank and Stein. And just in time for Halloween, too. WJMP is royally ticked off at Major League Baseball, hence they've begun to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game over and over and over again. Mathematically, they will hit 50,000 times by the time the World Series was supposed to have rolled around. Can anyone wonder if irate listeners will storm the studios with their bats? If you think the O.J. Simpson case is a media circus, you're not alone. In La La Land, DJ Rick Dees and his staff complete the circus acrobatics, and performers went on the air from outside the Los Angeles County Criminal Court building. WMPX in Peoria has added Rebecca Ryan and Keith Kelly to their on-air talk staff. Ryan in the AM and Kelly in the PM drive. WGSY's new love song goddess is Crambia Robinson. Fred Heckman is back at WIBC in Indianapolis, 0-1070. Julie Jordan is having to get up a little earlier in the day with her move to mornings at WLDE in Fort Wayne. WMTA in Center City, Kentucky has dropped the Tom Likas Show. Wonder why. WCKS is now WMYS, My Station, and switches to an adult standard format. Dr. Michael Lynn has moved from the Steel City's WAMO WAMO to Atlantic City's WBSS and the Wake Up Chores. WKDY has dropped its country format in favor of some contemporary hit radio fare in Utica, New York. The National Enquirer gossip columnist Mike Walker has signed on a two-hour daily show with the Westwood One radio network. The Moose is on the loose and run across town in Fresno, now being heard on the airways of KSKS. Tom Bibby has left Tupelo for Mobile, Alabama, and a morning spot on WKSJ. Well, National Radio Club member Greg Henson checks in with the following news from our nation's capital. Radio White House correspondent John Palmer has decided not to renew his contract, and he will move back to NBC as a national correspondent. He had been with the network for 26 years before being pushed aside in the office of politics of the Today Show. Laura Schlesinger has taken over the talk show reins on WWRC from 1 until 3 in the afternoon. Her call-in number is 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Les Kivingston is returning to the air in D.C., this time with Ellen Radical on WPCG 1580, weekdays from 7 until 9 p.m. If Marion Barry does not regain his mayoral seat in the November election, the rumor mill says that he may have a talk job at WWRC waiting in the wings. WOL 1450 has added the syndicated Bob Law Show to its schedule from 10 p.m. until 2 a.m. weekdays. Rita Foley has been added to the talk show fold on WMAL during 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. weeknights. Pat Piper, who produced the Larry King radio show for many years, has departed Westwood One Mutual Broadcasting System. She will return to the media world in a yet-to-be-determined role following a well-deserved vacation. San Francisco's morning man, Ed Lee, on KBLX has moved on to be the morning breeze on KQBR in Sacramento. As you heard Jerry Starr say, it was reported on the Internet that six French-language AM radio stations in Quebec shut down without warning at 11 a.m., resulting in the merger of two of Quebec's big networks, Les Réseaux Télémédia and Radio Mutuelle. Renee Cahill stated that, "I don't have the list of the stations that shut down or consolidated their operations, but one of those stations is CKCH on 970 in Hull, which is 10,000 watts day and 5,000 watts night, which shut down after 61 years of operation. Apparently, the remaining stations from the Telemedia Radio Mutuelle will be sharing a completely new schedule on Monday." So much for now for Pete Kemp's Radio Roundup. If you'd like to get in contact with Pete and pass along some of the gossip that you hear from around your radio market, you can send Pete that information via CompuServe at his address of 72376,2552, on the Internet at PETEKZ1Z@AOL.com, or on the FIDO system in the shortwave, ham, or broadcasting echoes, or via netmail at 1:141/1015. Or you can send them mail if you're an amateur radio operator on packet at KZ1Z at K1UOL.CT. Or you can write to Pete at the DX Audio Service, Post Office Box 5031, Lima, Ohio 45802-5031. Until next time, 73 and good DX from Pete Kemp. I forgot to mention on this edition that our good friend Chris Connor has moved her gig over to WBUK 107.5, the Big Buck, in Lima and Fort Shawnee. So Chris becomes a Buckmeister. Congratulations, Chris. And we'd also like to make mention that After Dark number 5 will be released just before Christmas. And we'll have more details on the next edition of the DX Audio Service. And don't forget, if you're looking for a great Christmas gift, we have gift subscriptions to the DX Audio Service. If you give a gift subscription of the DX Audio Service to someone else, we'll give you 2 extra months of your DX Audio Service to you at no charge. And also, don't forget those ball caps that we have, the DX Audio Service Neon Ball Caps. And they're available from the Publication Center. And that's all we got time for to hawk on this edition of the DX Audio Service. Let's jump into more DX stuff. As many of you know from the first part of our tape, we're going to have a National Radio Club convention out in the Mile High City next year, and it will also be the 10th anniversary of the National Radio Club. So we will have some special festivities going on out in Colorado for the convention. I'd like to let you know a little bit about the National Radio Club convention, which was held over Labor Day weekend. The convention was held at the Ramada Hotel in Merrimack, just north of Nashua. A total of 53 members were in attendance, as far away as California and Hawaii. A total of 55 registered, but 2 canceled. The hotel's presidential suite served as the hospitality room and convention headquarters, beginning Friday afternoon with sign-in and pickup of convention packets. The packets included a program book, which contained AM and FM and TV band scans, and an article on international DXing in New England written by Mark Connolly. Also an extensive report on the Boston area transmitter sites, and this was done by Scott Frybrush. Friday night, Tony Fitzherbert presented Exploring Radio by Commuter Rail. This is a plethora of locomotive and tower sites, which were shown, including a 12-tower array with narrative, description, and commentary, as we've grown accustomed to from our format's column editor. There was also some local station tours, starting on Saturday morning, at WSMN 1590 in Nashua. WSMN's engineer and air personality, John Halbert, was somewhat surprised when over 30 of us arrived for an inside look. Nashua County Radio is a full-service station providing weather, music, news, and sports for the community area, and has many plaques honoring the public service on display in the lobby. John apologized for the condition of the studios, as WSMN is in the process of converting to AM stereo. John also works at WLLH 1400, which is located in Lowell, Massachusetts. Our tour convoy was somehow split up on the way to the next transmitter site, and some of us ended up at WGIR 610, while the rest of us showed up at WKBR 1250. Eventually, the rest of the gang found their way to the WKBR site. Beautiful music was playing from a makeshift studio in a corner of a transmitter building, with the new studio scheduled to be opened in Manchester very shortly. The transmitter site is actually in Goffston on the Manchester City line, because the FCC requires that a radio station's public file be located in the city of license. WKBR's owner, Bob Bittner, quipped that the file cabinet only had to be moved a few hundred feet, easy to comply, rather than being at the new Manchester studios. Bob led us on a nature walk around the 42-acre site of the WKBR 5-tower array in nearly perfect New England weather. Unfortunately, Bob regrets that he may have to give up WKBR, as it's difficult running three radio stations at significantly distances from each other. So his station ownerships will be likely to be cut down to two, WJIB and WNEB. As many of you know, on Saturday night, there's the traditional banquet and the auction. WJIB, WKBR, WNEB owner and general manager Bob Bittner kicked off Saturday evening's traditional convention activities as the banquet guest speaker. Bob talked about his philosophy regarding the beautiful music format heard on WJIB, WKBR, and soon to be on WNEB. With the departure of beautiful music from FM as dictated by ratings and marketing to younger age groups, Bob believes he's providing an essential service with a non-aggressive format that a radio listener's haven with the craziness of the world today. Okay. Indeed, WJIB's ratings are climbing with listeners from all age groups, as evidenced by the Monday afternoon all-request beautiful music program on WJIB. It's interesting to note that the station runs commercial-free with the exception of USA Network News. WJIB is supported by brokered programs on Sunday and Super Radio 3 sales. The Super Radio 3 is sold to listeners for optimum enjoyment of the beautiful music. Bob signed off by offering to provide airtime on WJIB for a weekly Radio DX hobby talk program. Some of the Boston area DXers hopefully will be getting together later to discuss this opportunity. The annual National Radio Club business meeting was conducted after the banquet by National Radio Club Chairman of the Board, Ken Chatterton. Sale of the DX position handbook and new National Radio Club publication was announced at with a limited number of copies available at the convention. Paul Swearingen and Bill Hale were honored for their dedicated work and contributions to the National Radio Club with plaques commemorating the New Hampshire convention. Ken mentioned that the National Radio Club is looking for a volunteer to take over the reprint business, and questions were then fielded by the audience. Speaking of bids, a catchy segue, huh? Bidders were few and far between at the National Radio Club auction, so some great deals were made for t-shirts, air checks, coffee mugs, and bumper stickers. Some of the exceptional auction items included a K-Call bumper sticker and the new t-shirt from Hawaii, and Catlin photograph radio and antique radios for parts scavengers, a collection of DX news dating back to 1968, a copy of Granite and Ether, a chronicle of New Hampshire broadcasting that went for $15, and a DX 400 receiver Dick Truax took away for a high bid of $50. Ron, Mr. Tack Musco, also won a old radio with a high bid of $1, and then proceeded to entertain us by smashing it to the ground. Oh, dear, 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 Mr. Musco. Despite a lackluster bidding war, the auction netted $311 for the club, thanks to all that helped donate to the auction. And that's what happened at the National Radio Club Convention up there in the Granite State. Our next edition of the DX Audio Service will be the Christmas edition, so don't forget to call the action line and wish everyone a Merry Christmas. See you next month.
You're tuned to 610 WDBS. Okay, we're off the air. Great job, everyone. Let's go home.